Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, lovely people. Happy Thursday. Welcome into First Take. Thanks for joining us. Christine Williamson here for Molly. We've got Dan Orlovsky. We got Keyshawn Johnson. We'll take a little, talk a little NFL, talk some NBA with Jay Will and Monica McNutt in a bit. A ton to get to today, guys. You feeling good? Happy Thursday. How are you feeling?
I'm in Vegas. I feel great, okay. Christine. What up, Key?
What's happening, man? What's happening? You just getting in? What's the story? Talk to me.
Nah. I've been in Vegas for 24 hours now. Let's go.
Okay, yeah, but then, are you start, just getting into start. The studio
Guys,
coming from
the
casino?
We have to start talking about the Cowboys, okay? As we know, Dallas' season ended in the divisional round of the playoffs against the 49ers this season. The boys ranked fourth in points per game and 11th in yards, but quarterback Dak Prescott tied for the regular season NFL lead in interceptions with 15, despite missing five games. But just one season ago, he established a team record with 37 touchdown passes and just 10 interceptions. Here's what the Joneses had to say about their quarterback's future.
I'm still very strong, I'm very strong on Dak. This whole thing reflects the upside that I feel in Dak. The fact that we're doing this, Mike's calling the plays, this has everything to do with the positiveness around Dak. It's building around Dak.
Do you address Dak's deal now? I mean, with the number, I know we've talked before that it's something that you would look at or could look at.
Yeah, I think you can look at it, absolutely. I mean, it's not... do we do it or not? I mean, it takes two parties to talk. The bigger thing for us is Dak's going to be our guy for the next, hopefully, 10 years.
All right, like I said, Dak caught the turnover bug this season, throwing 15 interceptions in the regular season and adding two more in the playoffs. Prescott had six games with at least two interceptions and went 3 of 11 with a pick on throws of 10 or more air yards versus the 49ers. Dan, since you're in Vegas, we'll start with you here. Should the Cowboys extend Dak Prescott?
Only if it's in the thought of helping their salary cap space. You know, the reasoning behind this decision is everything. They are $7 million over the projected salary cap this year. So I think the question is, where does Dak sit when it comes to money-wise? So number one, his cap hit is $49 million in 2023. That is second in the NFL behind Deshaun Watson, who's 54. His salary is $30 million. That's third in the NFL behind Deshaun and Derek Carr. The performance hasn't matched the expectation attached to that money. So if you're telling me as a Dallas Cowboys, since you're $7 million over the cap space right now, that you want to extend Dak Prescott in somehow, some way, to try to relieve some of the salary cap space that you're going to be in this season, I'm cool with that. I understand that there's the financial business of this when it comes to it. If you're telling me you want to extend Dak Prescott because you feel like that's the needed move when it comes to the individual in his position and or his performance, it just doesn't match up. Since you've signed his contract extension, you're 1-2 in the playoffs. And I would say that one win against Tampa is, like, Tampa played so bad. He played well, but the two games that you really needed him to kind of elevate the performance twice against San Francisco, it hasn't matched that. So if you're the Cowboys, you don't rush to sign him to an extension strictly because you want to reward the performance, only because, hey, we need some salary cap freedom, but you got to be very smart and strategic with doing it, because right now, with the performance coming off of last year, it doesn't feel good to do that to the individual player.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at it, though, Dan, you're looking at his performance based on the playoffs and not the body of work when they rewarded this young man this contract. They certainly need to, for salary cap reasons, at $49 million this year and another 50, I think it's like 58 in 2024. My numbers may be slightly off, but that's a huge part of their salary cap. This year, it will account for almost 25%. And you can't do that at a $225 million salary cap. You can't tie up 25% of your salary to one guy. So, yes, They certainly are going to do that. But in doing that, you have to extend him. Now, you saw Stephen Jones, the son of the owner, Jerry Jones, talk about Dak is going to be their quarterback, hopefully, for the next 10 years. Look, he didn't play so poorly over the last 3 years that we got to get rid of him. That is not the case at all when it comes to Dak Prescott. But what happens with people is they have short memories. And they forget that this young man, prior to getting this injury, it wasn't his fault that they lost to the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs. It was Aaron Rodgers. Had nothing to do with him. And when you look at the San Francisco game a year ago, and you look at the San Francisco game here, I give you that. He did not play well. But he did play well in the Tampa Bay game, regardless to what we may have thought the Tampa Bay defense was or their offense was. But that's okay. Because there's other players out here at this position that played against teams that stunk in the playoffs, and they won. So I think that it's okay to say, yes, they should.
But here's the
salary cap reasons.
Yeah. Here's my pushback to it, Kiko. Again, I think that we can make the case, both of us, to understand that for cap purposes,
yes,
this makes financial sense.
100%.
But here's where you get yourself into this trouble doing this.
Okay.
Did it make financial sense a little bit to do the Zeke extension years ago?
Yeah, it did. It did.
Would we both agree that that has hindered this football team over the last 2 years financially somewhat?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Now I would say moving forward,
they have to do something. But I wouldn't say over the last 2 years, not at all. Not at all. He may have been slightly overpaid because he's been in and out of the lineup, and then they found Tony Pollard. But I wouldn't say it's hindered him from signing people. Not at all.
It absolutely has hampered. They had to get rid of their right tackle, Lyle Collins, because of it. In many ways, because they couldn't afford him.
They got rid of Lyle Collins for a number of reasons.
Okay, so let's bring this back to Dak Prescott. So you think here's my biggest issue of this all, because because of the performance over the last 2 years, I think since he signed his contract, they're 19-9, which is good. He's thrown for 7,000 yards, which is good.
Yes.
I think he has 50 touchdowns, 25 interceptions. That's good. Those are all about league averages. But you want to extend a player that is coming off of his worst year in his career. You would agree with that, right? That this is his worst season?
I would not say it's his worst season. What I would say is he turned the ball over in interceptions the last six games or so that he certainly and they certainly wouldn't like to see. Because when he came back off an injury, they had I call it Cooper Rush game plan. And they started, they did okay. They won a couple games. Yeah, it's fluid. They won a couple games. And then all of a sudden, Kellen Moore decided to start doing things different and push the gas pedal. And then he started turning the football over. I wouldn't say it's his worst performance and all that. I'm not going to do that because he had a game. He had about a six-game stretch where he threw interceptions. And even in some of those games, they still won the games. They were still able to do it. But I could also point to other quarterbacks, including Josh Allen. One of your favorites and my favorites that turned the ball over, Dan.
Your favorites.
I like Josh Allen.
Come on, Keith. Let's tell the truth on television today.
All right, let's tell the truth. I don't love him. I like him. You have not been a
massive fan of Josh Allen's for a long time. You don't like any other quarterback in the NFC or the AFC East outside of the Jets guy. Number two, to sit here and say that this is not Dak Prescott's worst season, if this isn't Dak's worst season, then what is? Because that is by far his worst performance. So you want to pay a guy that is the salary cap hit and the salary hit this year that's coming off of his worst season going into a season that won. His coach now has to be the play caller. And two, whether we want to call it a hot seat or the highest expectations of performance and winning that's going to be in the NFL, we could very much so, fast forward, I hope this doesn't happen, but sit here going, the Cowboys are looking for a new head coach, but they got a quarterback that's under a gajillion-dollar contract, so you have to make him, you have to have him as your quarterback.
What are you going to do? You're going to let one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL walk out the door? You're gonna allow him. You're not gonna do anything. So you're gonna eat up 25% of the salary cap. You do nothing on the extension side to save yourself salary cap relief. Let's assume they carry it. Then you come the next offseason, you're not going to carry that 50-something million, whatever that number is, and you then decide to extend him at that point or not extend him. You're going to allow him in a quarterback-starving league to walk out the door because you don't want to do the right thing by extending his contract and kicking the can down the road. You're going to do that.
I don't think he's a top 10 player. I think he's probably closer to top 12, top 14. Okay. Now, that's semantics. That's subjective.
12 and 18, what's the difference?
That's subjective. I agree with you that right now, if you're going to do some form of an extension, it is only because you're trying to free up salary cap space.
Yes!
But it's not like... But Key, that's where you get yourself into trouble.
You kick the can
down the road.
You have
no, you
to.
Don't.
So, yes,
right.
You do.
All right. No, you don't, Key. No,
okay,
you
so
don't.
What, so tell
no, you
me,
don't.
In your perfect world, Mr. Capologist and General Manager Orlowski, what would you do?
I think that I would try to ride the wave this year, ride it out this year to
so
see
you're
what
keep,
it looks
you're
like
ride
this year.
With $49 million. You've got Key. To replace guys. You're $7 million over the cap. You've got to sign free agents potentially.
Eventually,
you
gotta
you've
pay
got
the cost,
to sign. You not only do you have to sign free agents, remember, this salary cap also is part of the collective bargaining agreement for the rookies. You've got to sign your draft class. So what do you do?
Why do you think Dak's play slipped this year? What do you attribute it to? Is there a singular thing you attribute to, or is it multiple things?
I honestly think that they got giddy once he got back instead of riding what I like to call the Cooper Rush game plan. They got giddy along the way, and Kellen Moore, for whatever it's worth, wasn't listening and doing what they want Coach McCarthy wanted him to do, and they start trying to push the ball a little bit too much.
He's the third most expensive quarterback in the NFL.
Doesn't matter. Just because you make a lot of money don't mean you got to throw the ball 50 times a damn game, Dan.
No. We don't see this the same way. We just don't. I think it's a dangerous slope, man.
I asked you to fix the problem. You can't fix it.
I said I would ride with it this year to see how it worked with him and Mike McCarthy.
And so you're not gonna have any players then? Because you're $7 million under the cap. You got it. Where are you gonna get the money from?
I'd figure it out with other people. I'm not sabotaging 24, 25, 26 when it comes to these 22.
All right. You can't.
I mean,
I do want to offer some cap clarity to make sure that we have these numbers accurate. With Dak on the roster, the Cowboys have a cap hit of $49.1 million, as you mentioned, in 2023, $31 million guaranteed, and a cap hit of $52.1 million
in
2024.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the biggest news of yesterday.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Tom Brady is retiring for a second time, and this time he says it's for good. After 23 years in the NFL, 7 Super Bowls, and numerous records, Brady announced his decision on Wednesday morning, saying he wouldn't trade a thing about his career. He is the only player to win more than 5 Super Bowls and has been named Super Bowl MVP 5 times. Yesterday on First Take, Mike Francesa had something to say about Tom Brady's legacy. Take a listen to this.
He's not the best regular season quarterback I've ever seen. Peyton Manning was. What? He's not the best Super Bowl quarterback who ever lived. Joe Montana is. What he is, though, is the guy who played the longest and he won the most games.
All right, Keyshawn, let's start with you here. Who would you take in a Super Bowl? Joe Montana or Tom Brady?
In the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
One guy's been the 10, one guy's been the 4, but the 4, he's 4-0. He never threw an interception. And, I mean, I got to go with Montana. It's weird because of what Brady was able to do in some of those Super Bowls, but Montana was just, I mean, it was just different to me. I'm sorry. It was just different to me. He was as cool as ice. He just 3 MVPs, 11 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. This is a hard one, but I gotta go with Montana. And I know Dan probably disagrees with me based on Tom Brady's, you know, tenure in the Super Bowls and record in the Super Bowls. Joe was 4-0, man. He just was 4-0.
This is like the Jordan LeBron argument, right? You know, Key, when we started this show, you asked me, I forgot to tell you, you asked me, was I just coming in from the casinos out here in Vegas? It's 7 a.m. out here. Last night was one of those moments in my life where I was like, yo, Dan, you're a straight up loser. I went down, ate dinner by myself, and I was asleep at 9 o'clock in Las Vegas. So it was a reminder how kind of simple of a life I like to live. We got an example from Mike Francesa of what makes like Northeastern people, mainly New York people, so interesting when it comes to sports conversation. Because the fact that he thought of that in the way that he described this situation instantly, like, I've never heard of the description. He's the best regular season quarterback, but he's not the best playoff quarterback, and maybe they're not the best Super Bowl quarterback. I didn't even know those things existed. I'm going to go with Tom Brady. I grew up in the Brady era, so that definitely has a part of this. I didn't really ever see, to my recollection, Montana in a Super Bowl unless I was super young. Here's the one reason why I find Brady over Montana. I love Joe Montana. In Joe Montana's 4 wins, which he's 4-0 in the Super Bowl, 3-time MVP, he has thrown for, I got the numbers, 1,142 yards and 11 touchdowns, okay? Tom Brady in his 10 Super Bowls is 7-3, all right? In the 3 Super Bowl losses, Brady's thrown for over 1,000 yards. So he's thrown for basically the same amount of yards in his losses that Joe Montana has done so in his wins. Now, Montana had 11 touchdowns. Brady threw 7 in those 3 losses. So he's got a little bit of an advantage in the touchdown area. But I just look at the 3 losses that Brady has, and I go, well, 2 of them are to the Giants when the Giants' defensive line was absolutely dominant, and they had a Hall of Famer in Michael Strahan play like a Hall of Famer. And then in one of those losses to the Philadelphia Eagles, I think they scored 40-plus points, and he threw for 500 yards, which, again, is almost half of what Montana threw in all 4 of his Super Bowls. So for a guy that's 7-3 in those 3 losses to equate the way that they did, Brady's the best quarterback I've ever seen. I think it's hard to compartmentalize he was the best.
It is, Dan. There's no question about it, but you broke it down a certain way. Just remember, 0 INTs. We don't like our quarterbacks to throw interceptions. And look, I understand. It's 6 over a 10 game span. I understand that. I get that. But then when you also think about Joe Montana's situation in yardage, it was a different era. They didn't throw the ball all over the lot, right? They just didn't. That wasn't the time, man. But on top of that, you have to think about Brady's first several Super Bowls. He gets the credit because he was the quarterback. He gets
more
the credit.
Complete team stuff, yeah.
But it was Willie McGinnis and Teddy Bruschi and company and Lawyer Malloy and Ty Law. It was a lot of that. And Adam Vinatieri on the 50-yard field goals. So it was a little bit different. So what I like to do when they come to this conversation is I like to take 3 of those Super Bowls and push them to the side, even though you probably can't do it because they're still W's. But when you start talking about
this morning,
no, I do that.
What three Super Bowls are we pushing to the side?
The first three. The first three, I'm gonna push to the side. I'm just gonna push them to the side.
The first one, he leads him on a game-winning drive for a field goal.
The first one, he throws a shallow cross to Troy Brown. He checks down to Redmond. Don't get me started on those Super Bowls, Dan. I was playing in the league at this time. I'm just saying for conversation.
You're in your 15th year.
Yeah, whatever. Just for the conversation's sake, right? I'm saying that if you push those aside, he's 4-3 in the Super Bowls. You just push. You just push him aside.
Push him to the side. They never happened.
You can give him credit. I'm talking about Montana was the reason they were 4-0 is all I'm saying. The reason. Well, Tom Brady on the 4-3 was the reason in 07 that they lost the three when he was part of the team and he won those four. The other three, it was such a defensive
oriented
team.
Didn't they skunk someone like 56-0 in a Super Bowl? The 49ers?
And the Broncos.
So how is it?
He beat the Broncos down because he was ridiculously throwing the football all over the lot. And they was
gave
doing
up
their
zero
thing.
Points. Oh, they gave up 0 points. He threw to the greatest wide receiver ever. John Kittle was an absolute stud.
Yes.
Rathman was a stud.
Yes, they had a stud team. They did.
So what?
But guess what?
How can we just erase three Super Bowls and think like, they won 56-0.
I'm just telling you, you had to see Joe Cool, though, Dan. You had to. Look, this
56
argument.
To 10.
This argument.
Thank you, producer.
All Montana people would praise me, and all Brady people would hate me, and vice versa right now on this conversation. Now, ask me which one I would rather play with. I take their left hands compared to some of the quarterbacks that I played with in my career because that's just the reality of it.
You always find a way to take the shots at the quarterbacks you play with, man. You always find a way to take the shots at them.
I didn't say all of them. I said some.
When we got this question, I chuckled. I honestly chuckled because I was like, okay. You're going to win a bunch of – you are 11-3 in the history of the Super Bowls between these two guys. I just think because of the moments, because of the performance by Tom, even in his losses, that aren't all that different than the performance by Joe Montana in the wins, I'd take Tom Brady.
And let me help you on the Brady argument of regular season. First of all, and what Francesca was saying, I don't buy. Because Tom Brady had to do something to get those teams in a position to even make the playoffs during the regular season. So I don't buy that he's not even the best regular season quarterback. Because if my mind serves me right, he had the number one or the number two seed in many of those Super Bowl appearances.
Yeah.
So that means that he had to be
had to
doing
go to
something.
New England.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that means he had to do something right.
Yeah.
So I help you there.
My man, thank you. Thank you, Key. It's the first thing we've agreed on ever.
And you're, never mind.
All right, let's keep things rolling to another quarterback and that bad man. According to Adam Schefter, an offseason trade of Aaron Rodgers is an option for the Green Bay Packers for a variety of reasons, including that Rodgers is due to close to $110 million over the next 2 years if he remains on their roster. And Schefter reporting that the franchise actually prefers to move on from the four-time MVP, just as it once did with Brett Favre. Pat McAfee asked Rodgers about the situation on his show. Listen to this.
So how do you see this going? You have to figure out what you want to do, and then your first call is to the Packers, and then you let them know what you're thinking, and then they said that we'll let you know what we're thinking, and then that's kind of how the whole process will unfold, you think?
I think so. I mean, it sounds like there's already conversations going on that aren't involving me, which are interesting. It's going to be a little bit more time for my decision, and you know, I feel confident that in a couple of weeks I'll feel definitely more strongly about one of the two decisions.
All right, in a Q&A on Twitter, Rodgers' former teammate and current Raider, Davante Adams, was asked about which neighborhood Aaron Rodgers is moving to. His response, mine. So we now have Damian Woody joining us now. And here's the question, Dan. I'm going to start with you on this one, actually. Where do you think Rodgers has the best chance to win another Super Bowl? Green Bay or somewhere else?
Oh, it's Green Bay. It's not even close. To win a Super Bowl through the NFC is so much easier than the AFC right now. This is very similar to what I said about the 2020 Tom Brady move from New England. Get the heck out of the AFC. The AFC is a murderer's row of teams and quarterbacks. Kansas City, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Baltimore, Jacksonville, the Chargers. You have to do it in the AFC is so difficult. You got to catch breaks in so many different ways. The NFC, what team in the NFC do we really feel good about going into next year and maybe even the future that is going to be here for the long haul? Philly? I think Philly has got a chance to be really good for a while. San Francisco is going to be in that conversation anytime they have Kyle, but we got to see what's going to happen at quarterback for them. Trey Lance, Brock Purdy, somebody else. I think it should be those two guys. Detroit's going to be very good next year, but there's a bunch of good teams, but there's not many teams that have really good teams and absolute dudes at quarterback. The AFC has like six of them. So to win a Super Bowl, the best chance realistically is in Green Bay. To do it in the AFC right now is night-night.
Yeah, listen, I agree a lot with what Dan was talking about, especially the fact that all you have to do is look at where are all the great quarterbacks at in the NFL AFC right now. They all reside in the AFC. And the question is, what place gives you the best chance to get back to the Super Bowl? I'm damn sure it's not going to the place where all the great quarterbacks reside. You know, like you talked about, Dan, you got Patrick Mahomes, you got, you know, Joe Burrow, you got Josh Allen. All those great quarterbacks reside in one conference. You don't have nowhere near the amount of quarterbacks in the NFC. And also, I look at it like this. I look at it with Green Bay. You look at what they did offensively. For a majority of the season, Aaron Rodgers didn't even play with his two rookie wide receivers for a variety of reasons, injuries, all those type of things. Didn't really have an offseason to really, to really get acquainted with those guys, get all those reps. And then obviously during the season, for whatever reason, injuries and so on and so forth, they never really had a lot of reps together. We saw glimpses of what this offense would look like. We saw glimpses of Christian Watson, the explosiveness, and Romeo Doubs, and what he possibly would bring as a rookie wide receiver to the Green Bay Packers. And when I look at the Green Bay Packers, towards the end of the year, that defense started to play like what we thought they were going to play like in the beginning of the year. And so when you combine, if the defense comes out the way they played towards the end of the year, Aaron Rodgers get the reps with now second year wide receivers and Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs, and just being in the NFC conference, to me, that's the easier path to get to the Super Bowl. Now, like, listen, I've been a guy that advocated about the Jets because I like the pieces, but if we're going to be realistic, the easier path is the NFC conference.
Right.
How is the NFC conference the easier path? He's been in that conference for his entire career. He's gone to one Super Bowl, okay? He's lost over the last couple years in the NFC championship game or the divisional game when he had the number one seed. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry, but how is that easy? That's all I want to ask you. So when you look at it, yes, there's some bright quarterback play in the AFC. Aaron Rodgers isn't running from the quarterback play. Okay, Josh Allen wind up losing to Cincinnati, not only putting up 10 points at home, mind you. Okay, so when you talk about quarterback play, Justin Herbert, young quarterback, he loses in the second half. Offensive coordinator gets fired to Jacksonville after putting up 27 points. Doesn't mean anything. Sean Payton, we don't know what that's going to be in Denver. We probably think it's going to be good because of Sean, but we really don't know. Right. Kansas City in the Chiefs, we know what that is in Patrick Mahomes. Las Vegas, zero, because he's probably gone. Okay, so you look at that division. What is that quarterback play? Now you go to the East. What is Tua? They want him back, but do we know what that's going to be? The Jets need him in the worst way at the quarterback spot. They're young and tenacious on defense with Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner and the rest of the cast of characters. They get Breece Hall back on the offensive side of the ball. We know what they got in Elijah Moore. We know what the Garrett Wilson could potentially be. They showed us as a young fighting team that they was in the mix, Dan. And if you think, and I think I've seen you say this, and I think I've said it before along with you, if they just got Carr, they were a playoff team. Now, what if they got Aaron Rodgers?
Agreed.
What if they got Aaron freaking Rodgers? Because we don't know what Deshaun Watson's going to be after a year and a half layoff. We think he's going to be back to normal. What's going to happen with the Ravens and Lamar Jackson? Are they going to fix this offense? Because you certainly can't win a Super Bowl. He can be an MVP playing dynamic football, but they can't win a Super Bowl with that offense that they've had since he's been there. And so when you break down the quarterback,
Greg Roman's gone.
I know, but what's that going to be? Do we know what that's going to be? So my whole point to having that whole round of about conversation is the AFC and the New York Jets is the best spot for him. And it sounds like he's probably gone out of Green Bay anyway, just based on what he's saying. They're having conversations that does not involve him. So it sounds like to me they're not even respecting him anymore. They're like Brett Favre-ishing him and saying, we're going to do this without your input.
Yeah, I think here's the thing, Keith. There's two things could be true here. Are the Jets a playoff football team and a Super Bowl contender with Aaron Rodgers? Absolutely. No questions asked. Is the road easier going through the NFC? Absolutely. No questions asked. Just look at the Eagles' playoff run this year. They beat two teams in the playoffs. What did they beat the Giants? Like 35-7 or 40-7? And then they beat the 49ers 31-7 or something like that?
They're a really good team, though.
But that's my point. That's the only one team that we can sit here unequivocally and say, man, next year they're still going to be there. What other team in the NFC do we sit here and pound the table and go, that's going to be a beast to get through? I think Detroit's going to be very good next year. I don't think they quarterback hunt. I think they just continue to acquire talent.
Yeah, I
think Chicago's coming.
Seattle's
got a chance to be better.
Yeah.
But we're talking about a team. Green Bay this year had to deal with their left tackle being in or out and not healthy, one of their best players in Elkton Jenkins not being healthy. Their quarterback had a broken thumb. He had a broken thumb, and they still played week 18 at home, and they lost for a chance to go to the playoffs. If this team can get healthy, now I'll preface it all that with this. If I was Green Bay, if I was the Jets, if I was Carolina, I don't care who it is. You have to be honest with Aaron Rodgers and say, listen, we want you, but you got to be here in April and May. If we are going to invest another year, either Green Bay or somewhere else, whatever it takes to get him, I need your energy. I need your leadership. I need your presence in our organization year round. If he can't give you that, then we're having a completely different conversation here about Aaron Rodgers coming to your organization. But the easiest path to winning a Super Bowl is unequivocally, inarguably, the NFC.
Why hasn't that happened over the last however many years?
Because it hasn't happened. That doesn't mean the path's not the easiest.
I'm gonna say this one thing. You know, Key, you talk about the quarterbacks and all the different things in the AFC. Remember this. The Green Bay Packers were hosting. They were the number one seed 2 years in a row. Think about that. Did they finish the deal? No. But they were still hosting the NFC Championship game in Lambeau Field.
I understand that.
But can we imagine? Yeah, but sure. That's okay.
We're talking about what's the easier path here.
We're talking about the easier path.
The AFC, you still got to go through a gauntlet
of quarterbacks.
I take my chances with him on the Jets.
Dude, the AFC with quarterbacks and good teams, you're talking Kansas City, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Baltimore, the Chargers, Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin is going to be okay and better. Jacksonville has come with Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence. That's nine right there of dudes and good organizations. I still haven't even mentioned Miami with Tua. Sean Payton might go 11-6 and not get into the playoffs in Denver. I mean, it's you're hoping in the AFC.
All right, guys, it should be noted that Aaron Rodgers finished the season with career lows in total QBR, pass yards per game, and turnovers.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Throughout February, First Take is honoring Black History Month by spotlighting historically black colleges and universities. Today, we're taking a look at Grambling State University, which was founded in 1901 and is a member of the Southwestern Athletic Conference. Here is a message from Grambling's president.
Hi, I'm Rick Gallo, president at Grambling State University, the place where everybody is somebody. And I want to welcome you and First Take as we celebrate the traditions of HBCU programs across the nation.
Grambling State Athletics has a rich history of success. The football program has won 15 Black College National Championships, 9 coming from the legendary Eddie Robinson. The men's basketball team will take on Southern in the 2023 NBA HBCU Classic during All-Star Weekend. And do not forget about Shekyla Hill, who became the first women's basketball player in NCAA history to record multiple quadruple doubles. All right, let's head over to the association. Last night, the Boston Celtics welcomed the Brooklyn Nets to town, and it was 139-96, a blowout in favor of Boston. Jason Tatum had 31, and Jaylen Brown had 26 for the Celtics, while Kyrie Irving scored 20, and Cam Thomas added 19 for Brooklyn. But the Nets struggled throughout, dropping to 4-7 since KD sprained his right knee on January 8th. Now, the Celtics have had the Nets' number all season long. The Cs won by 43 points, tied for the second largest win by any team this season. Despite the lopsided loss last night, the Nets still have the second shortest odds to win the Eastern Conference at +325. It's also worth noting that KD hasn't played in two of the three losses to the Celtics. And my friends, Monica McNutt and Jay Will, are here now to talk about this. Jay, I'm going to start with you on this one.
Mm-hmm.
How confident are you that the Nets can win the Eastern Conference?
First off, let me start here, Christine, on this. And Monica, bear with me for a second. I just want to give the Celtics the praise that they actually deserve on national TV. Mm-hmm. I think they are top to bottom the best team in the NBA. In my opinion, it is their championship to lose. I know teams will contend. I see what Denver's doing, if they can remain healthy. I know what the Memphis Grizzlies are. I never count out the Golden State Warriors. I see Sacramento. I see Philadelphia with Joel Embiid. I got what else is happening. Milwaukee with Chris Middleton backing Giannis. Their small ball lineup is working. But this team is complete. Malcolm Brogdon really helps. Jason Tatum with his 30th. He has 30 points last night. His 29th 30-point game this season. And it was a statement game. I think this team feels a certain way about the Brooklyn Nets. It's the 10th straight time they beat the Brooklyn Nets. 10th straight. They actually beat them last year in the playoffs, right? Sweep. These guys defensively top to bottom. Jason Tatum is on top of his game. And Jaylen Brown, I think, is the best shooting guard in the game of basketball right now with the way that he defends and how he's attacking the rim. So that's to give the Celtics praise. I am extremely concerned about the Brooklyn Nets. Now, I know that KD is out. It is very similar to what we saw last year with the Nets with KD being out. But if it's Jacques Vaughn talking about knee soreness for Ben Simmons, who just missed his third straight game, what is going on with Ben Simmons? And will he be there when it matters the most? When he leaves the game, Kevin Durant, who's sitting on the bench, does not even look at him. Okay? It goes to show you how KD feels about it a little bit. TJ Warren didn't play last night. I know guys are out. But this is one of the smallest teams in basketball. I mean, Nick Claxton at 6'11", who is a skinny bean, right? I get his athleticism and the skill set is there, but doesn't have the size of the frame. And you see him on the court. Like, they need to make moves, Monica, here. I don't know what Sean Marks is doing, and we'll see by the trade deadline. I advise they go get a guy like Mo Bamba, who seems not to be playing as much, you know, for the Orlando Magic. He can give them size defensively, allow them to press up. But they have a lot of decisions that they have to make. And I think Philly and I think Milwaukee are better teams right now than the Brooklyn Nets. And the Celtics made a statement. I mean, that just wasn't a slight beatdown. That was a backyard, barnyard beatdown that they gave them last night. A statement to the rest of the league about where the Celtics are going and how much they want to win a championship.
I appreciate the way you started your answer, Jay, because I actually had a similar conversation with ATH yesterday. I actually got Jason Tatum for me as MVP right now, but that's a whole side conversation. To the question about the Nets, we are in an interesting place as we consume the league that we all love and adore, where we do this if healthy. And I think when some folks have the conversation, if healthy is in lowercase letters, and for some teams, if healthy is in all caps. To me, it has to be in all caps when you talk about the Brooklyn Nets. And even with the greatness that is Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, which is undeniable, when you have the conversation top to bottom, the depth of the Nets becomes a concern. Where you put Ben Simmons in late game situations, and honestly, for all that Nick Claxton brings, who I love and think has made tremendous strides in terms of wanting to be solidified as a defensive rim protector in this league, shooting less than 50% from the free throw line in a tight ball game is not it. And so I think, how much confidence do I have? Not a ton, because you nailed it in terms of the three teams that are two for sure that are better in my mind than the Brooklyn Nets right now. Philly has been playing really good ball as of late. I think with them, I wonder sometimes about sustainability. They hit these weird losing streaks sometimes or drop some games that really have you scratching your head. And so there's, I think ultimately the thing that propels the Nets in this conversation is, you know, Kevin Durant wants to play basketball and is going to do whatever he can to play basketball. And you know how great he is. And so I understand why we continue to have this conversation. And I don't even think that the margin is particularly wide, Jay, because if we get into a 7-game series, anything can happen with those guys on the floor. I'm just not confident that we would necessarily go to 7 with the Brooklyn Nets. And so I understand the question. There's a lot of firepower there. But I think when you start getting into the nuances that make up teams, teams with experience, teams with chemistry, teams with continuity, teams that have been on the floor together through the course of a season, all of that will matter down the stretch.
And Monica, last thing I'll say very quickly is that there are no more excuses now, right? Like, Kevin Durant is there to play basketball. You went through the offseason ordeal with him. Him and Josiah sat down. They are locked in. Kyrie, you haven't heard a blip from Kyrie. He's just been hooping. Sean Marks made the move, right, getting rid of James Harden because James Harden went out for Ben Simmons. So for me, this all comes back to Sean Marks. All the attention now is on Sean Marks and what moves you make before the trade deadline to get this 7-11 crew that has been waiting and has all the talent to win it. But now they need size and they need some additional pieces. Sean Marks, you're up.
I do want to also mention that 43-point loss is their largest loss since 2014, which is a long time ago. All right, guys, let's get to the W and a team that hopes that their New York super team will make some waves. And one of the biggest free agent moves in WNBA history, former league MVP Breanna Stewart has decided to play for the New York Liberty, leaving the Seattle Storm after winning 2 championships in 7 years. Here is Stewie on why she made the move.
I decided to go to New York because I want to continue to be great. And I want to go to the place where I can continue to help this league become better, to continue to raise the standard. And I feel like, why not go to the biggest market in all of sports? Super teams are the new thing, as you can see. So I'm ready to get to work. Obviously, training camp, WBA doesn't start for a while, but I'm excited. I'm ready. And I can't believe it, to be honest.
He says super teams are the new thing. Obviously, they have a super team in Las Vegas now. Monica, I'm going to start with you here. What will having Stewie in New York mean for the W?
It means that ownership matters is the top line item for me, y'all. If you listen to Stewie in that clip, she wanted to be a part of what Joe and Clara Tsai are doing in terms of pushing the WNBA forward. And obviously, the travel has been a huge point of conversation. And so why not bring the star power, the marketability that we've already seen with Breanna Stewart to a squad that also has stars on it and has a winning head coach who has won in Sandy Brondello. So I think when we talk about the basketball of this all, when Jonquel Jones went to the Liberty, I was texting friends and I'm like, okay, can Jonquel and Bree work together? I didn't know that they had played together overseas. So check, that's not an issue. You talk about the star power in a city like New York. Jonquel Jones and Sabrina Ionescu have both had State Farm commercials. Stewie obviously was in a ton of ads, including the Coca-Cola ad last year with the great Lisa Leslie. So you've got all the marketability and an incredible market. You throw Benaja Laney in that mix. I think the talent is tremendous. And I mentioned Sandy Brondello. But beyond all of her personal accolades, Breanna Stewart will give this team the experience in winning in the postseason. Jonquel Jones has struggled a little bit and obviously wasn't able to get over the hump, with the Connecticut Sun. Breanna Stewart, to me, brings a level of poise, experience, and not just talent in terms of having been where this Liberty squad is trying to go. I can't wait, y'all.
Monica, can I tell you that I think at this point, I'm more excited for my Brooklyn Nets courtside seats for the New York Liberty than the Brooklyn Nets? I'm not mad at this either. I'm just saying, you know, over the last couple of days, I've been talking to Lindsay Kagawa-Kowas, who is the agent for Breanna Stewart. She's actually one of the most powerful agents in the game of basketball, people, for both men and women. And when I got a little taste of potentially what was going to happen, I literally, my mouth dropped to the floor. I'm like, so this might be the biggest free agent signing in the history of the WNBA, Monica, right? Like, You're telling me that Breanna Stewart went from playing with Sue Bird, one of the all-time greats to play the game from a point guard perspective, to now going playing with Sabrina Ionescu? Okay, like, I'm going to be there to see that in these matchups. And now you're also telling me the Las Vegas Aces, you got Asia Wilson, you guys won a chip, and you guys just signed Candace Parker. What? This is what basketball needs. And it has my attention. And by the way, love Tom Brady, but Tom Brady stole the thunder of this and stole the thunder of Black History Month.
Agreed.
And we need to start talking about this, okay? Because this is the stuff that's deserving of us talking about. I said it 2 years in a row, Tom. What are we doing? 2 years, February 1st. What are we doing, Tom?
Jay, you're right. You should have made
that Monica.
Today. Not to mention that I was up and left my house and had just finished makeup to be scrapped from all the shows. But it was fine. Yeah, it's totally fine.
It's personal for us, Monica. That's okay. It's personal.
Jay Will, you mentioned those courtside seats. Kevin Durant tweeted yesterday, don't hit up me, hit my phone up, talking about courtside tickets in general, because they're gone.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.